Welcome to Stewardology, a podcast where two worlds collide. In this show, financial advisor Tim Russell and Reverend Drew Geisey come together to explore the intersection of financial stewardship and theology. Their unique perspectives help Christians and churches understand and apply a biblical framework for everyday financial decisions, so Christians everywhere can improve and strengthen their walk with Christ through biblical stewardship. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Tim Russell and Drew Geisey.
I'm Tim Russell.
And I'm Pastor Drew Geisey.
And we welcome you to episode number 9 of
The Stewardology Podcast. Last time on the podcast, we discussed two worldviews and their view on money and stewardship. And how we closed the podcast was that for the believer in Christ, that one should view money and finances in light of, number one, lordship, that God owns it all. Number two, it was stewardship. We are God's appointed caretakers of what he has put before us. And number three, it was blessing or generosity, that we are to emulate God with what is before us and be a blessing and generous to ministries and even to those in need that are all around us. Now, Tim, we are now in the throes of the holiday season of 2020. Yay, we're at the end of 2020.
Stretch, right? Yay. Everyone's happy to see this year go.
Oh my gosh, I am so into that. 2021 is going to be the big party. So, but Tim, we're in the throes of the holiday season of 2020. Tell us about when you were younger in your family, because we're going to be coming in with a unique topic today. What was the holiday season like when in your family? What did you guys do as a family and as kids?
Yeah, you know, this season of Thanksgiving that we just celebrated and Christmas, as it's coming up and we're anticipating it. We're in the Advent season now. It is it's filled with all kinds of great memories. We're going to talk today about something called the surprise package company or surprise generosity, which is really a way to apply the financial priority and principle, number four, of offerings in our family and in the world. And the way that this was introduced to me and to my siblings was actually around the Thanksgiving table. So every year at Thanksgiving, my dad would either before we ate or after we ate, we would pause and he would force everyone to share one thing that they're grateful for. And this started when we were still very young. I probably was, 8 years old, 9 years old. And every year we're like, yeah, I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my ball, my bike, you know, whatever. You know, what are we grateful for? And the whole idea was to get us to think about gratitude during Thanksgiving. And I'm sure we're not alone. Probably most of our listeners have some tradition similar to that. Shortly after he started this tradition, he added something to it. So after we've expressed what we're grateful for, he says, okay, now I'm going to ask you a question that's going to sound kind of strange, but who do you know in your church friends, in your school friends, in your community friends, who do you know who's going through hard times and who could use some financial help during the Christmas season? Now, this obviously came out of left field for us. So we scratched our heads. We just kind of looked dumb for a little bit, like, I don't know. And, you know, for the first year or two, he would help us identify families who had some needs. And I'll tell you what we did in a minute, but eventually as we got used to this and we knew this was coming, Thanksgiving was coming, we started to keep our ears open during prayer request time or during conversations that we're having or overhearing with others around us, either at school or at church, mm-hmm. in our communities. And we became more and more aware, next year, so-and-so lost their job. So-and-so has cancer and is struggling. And we would start to help come up with some names. So we would pick four families.
Because there's four siblings.
That's right. There are four of us. So one family for each kid. And we would do the surprise package company.
Explain that. In a broad brushstroke, we're going to get into detail a little later on, but a broad brushstroke.
Well, I'll tell you the story. I mean, I think this is probably the most fun. So we would identify a family. We would say, okay, you got the Smith family, you've got, this family, that family, and the other family. And we would all pile into the family vehicle. Mm-hmm. And we would drive out at night, usually on a weekday. So the sun's gone down. It's all dark.
It's in December. It's a little covert.
So you dress in like your dark attire, wear a dark shirt, dark jacket, put a dark hat over your head. I'm blonde. So, I got to cover my, my mom called me a towhead. So I had to cover my hair. And we would go out to the house, and then we would get to the car, or we would get to maybe a couple houses away from the house that we had to go visit. And my heart starts to race. My dad turns around in the chair and goes, "Tim, you're up." I'm like, "Okay." He turns around and he hands me an envelope and a little piece of paper, and it says, "To the Smith family." He says, "All right, Tim. So two houses down, it's house 147. You need to sneak down as carefully as you can. Don't get caught."
I'm hearing Mission Impossible sounds in the background.
In the back of my mind, the sliding door for the van opens up, and I like do a somersault out of the van, and I would run from car to car, tree to tree, bush to bush, and I'm doing all of the really cool moves and twists and turns as I'm trying to get out there covertly, crawling hands and knees on the grass.
This is long before home security cameras.
Yeah, Ring Central was not exactly going on at that point. So the Ring cameras. So I would get up to about where the porch is, and I my heart is racing. I can hear it thundering in my ears, and I try to calm myself as much as possible, and I look around. No one's looking. I listen for the sounds inside the house. It sounds like everything's normal in there. I don't hear any sounds. It certainly doesn't make it sound like they know that I'm there. And I start to sneak up the side of the steps, and Greek. I'm just trying to get up as quietly as I can. I get up to the top, and I'm praying to God they don't have a dog, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, I hope the dog doesn't start barking at me. And I tape the envelope with the name of the family to the thing. And this is the part my dad said, "Now ring the doorbell and run for your life and don't get caught." So I would ring the doorbell, turn around and start running away and jump into a bush. And that's probably the most fun of the entire event. Not only is it not getting caught beforehand, but it's waiting for the responses. And you hear some movement in the house and someone comes up to the door. Who on earth is knocking at our door this time of night? And they walk open the door and they see taped to the front door is this envelope. They're like, "What on earth?" And they take the envelope down and see their names on it. They open it up. Honey, come here. You got to see this. And the wife comes out, the kids come out, everyone's standing around. They open up the envelope, and the envelope says, "From your friends at High Point Baptist Chapel, Merry Christmas. Bless others as you've been blessed." And stapled to that piece of paper is a $100 bill.
Wow.
And it's just a way of blessing and encouraging them. And to see the joy in their eyes, the shock, amazement, and gratitude, the excitement of the kids as they're jumping up and down. They can't believe this just happened. And you, as a 12-year-old, hiding in the bushes, hearing all this, trying to be quiet, and sneaking back to the car with this big grin on your face. It was probably one of the most memorable events of my childhood.
Did any of you or your siblings ever get caught?
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes, we did. There were two times in particular that I can think of. I never got caught personally.
You snuck through.
At least that's my recollection. Your siblings might remember.
Tom Cruise's replacement from Mission Impossible.
They just got to call me. I'm available.
You're available.
I'm available. Yes. So we had one episode. I think they had a dog, and the dog signaled them, and they were going to run away. And the woman who was our target, quote unquote target, that we were giving the money to, she came running out after us.
Oh no!
And we ended up having a very nice conversation with her. She was incredibly grateful, and we told her that she was sworn to secrecy. She wasn't allowed to tell anyone else that we were doing this.
But for the most part, you guys were pretty covert in all this.
So if we did this, you know what, for I don't know, eight to 10 years,
that's wonderful.
We may have been caught once, twice that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Pretty covert.
You know, one time I remember the person that we gave some money to was person in our church, and it just so happened that it was a Saturday and the next day was Sunday, and he was leading worship that day at church, and he stopped and he says, "Now I don't know which one of you did this, but let me tell you what happened last night." Like, each one of my siblings and I are kind of elbowing each other, looking back and forth, like, "Don't smile, don't say anything." But that was really cool.
Oh, I'm sure that's a blessing. So you just expressed what we call in our Life Institute seminar the surprise package company, which basically your father kind of spearheaded this, put this together, and did this. You were the guinea pigs in the experimental the surprise package company to put it all to come together. About a year ago, we at the Life Institute took a lot of time and we overhauled the seminar, and we loved that surprise package company. And you guys primarily put the surprise package company in the holiday time, the Thanksgiving, Christmas time. And we were thinking, how can we take this and expand this out and take it? You can still do that year round.
Sure.
But there was really a focus that you guys had. And as we taught it, the focus was the holiday time. We wanted to take it and say, what can we do that takes it up beyond the holiday time, make it year round, and really put take it to the next level. And what we chose to do is, instead of just using surprise package company, we now have a new thing we call the surprise generosity that we're teaching. And it's a unique way of training children to have a heart of generosity on many levels. And the surprise generosity, it speaks to what you did growing up, Tim, blessing someone with a gift or of either items, money, gift cards, something. But to take it beyond the holiday season, it's to add surprise service. We've added this new piece where one can be a blessing to serve someone in need. Now, it's probably hard to do covert leaf raking for somebody, but it's a way to be able to bless somebody.
You've got to get creative to make that work.
I'm telling you. I don't know how you do that.
Maybe. Well, you have one of them get them out of the house to go take them shopping. And while that's happening, you're there with the youth group or your kids or whatever, just, and you rake it up.
There you go. So now
where there's a will, there's a way.
I think your younger years got you trained to be able to think that way.
So, you know, the other thing you talk about, surprise generosity is year round. Absolutely true. My biggest concern about taking it out of the Christmas season is always that the Christmas season, it just feels like it was made for
absolutely.
This. And if you have it open-ended with no particular date in mind, you're not going, if you're like me, you're probably not going to do it. You'll have good intentions, but life gets in the way. Christmas is just a good time for us to be grateful and generous towards others. So if we want you to think about this in terms of Christmas, but also in terms of, don't just put it in the box of Christmas.
Right.
When you find out that there's a need, find a way
to
be generous and creative with how you meet those needs.
Absolutely. So we wanted Tim to share the story of his background and what he did growing up, but we want to take a few moments and we want to dive into the scriptures and see what do the scriptures say about generosity. And we broke it up. We have just a few verses. So let's dive into the Old Testament. And first is Deuteronomy 15:11. It says, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land." So we see here that this passage is making it very clear that we will always have the poor. We will always have the needy. And I like
what there's no lack of opportunity.
There's no lack of, I mean, open your eyes, right? Sure. Open your eyes.
And that's the battle.
And I like what it says here. It says, you need to open your hand wide. So it's saying, don't hold back. And it says, I like the breakdown, to your brother. In other words, look within your own family, possibly, to the poor, and also to the needy in the land. So you're going a little bit further out. So it's not just saying, here, I'm just going to look at the church. I'm not going to just look at my family. I'm going to look across the fence. I'm going to look in here within the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so that's a key piece, I think, as you're looking for those that have need. Tim, Proverbs 19:17
says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he was given." This is amazing. So we recall the passage in the New Testament where Jesus, in parable form, says, you know, in the final day, you know, some, you know, will come and he will say, you know, "You fed me when I was sick. You clothed me when I was naked. I was in prison and you visited me." And they say, "Lord, Lord, when have we done this to you?" And he says, "As much as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me."
Yes.
And oh my goodness, can you imagine what it's like to lend to the Lord?
Mm.
Talk about a debt that can never default.
Right. Never.
And I don't want to like over literalize lending to the Lord in terms of like having all of the connotations of modern day lending arrangements. But when we give and have pity on the poor, when we support and help the poor, it is like we're doing it to the Lord. As much as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. So when we look at our generosity as a way of serving and worshiping God, notice what the second half of the verse says. He, God, the Lord, will pay it back.
Yeah.
This is an amazing promise that I think we need to take more seriously.
Yeah, and I like to say it this way, that as we are generous unto the poor, to the needy that are out there, that, again, there's no hard statement here, but it says he will pay back what he has given. So the Lord will pay back. I coin it in this phrase in my mind. There's no loss in generosity here. Here we're giving unto the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. It's all his. We're giving to meet the need that's out there. And God knows it. We're giving to somebody who's already rich. And he says, "Hey, I got you covered. I'll take care of you."
So some people, when they think about this and they give money away, they're realizing that when they give it away, they no longer have it.
Right.
So there is a loss in that sense. Yeah. But what you're pointing out, Drew, is at the end of the day, there's no loss Lord will repay.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about the New Testament.
Absolutely. Ephesians 4:28. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Tim, talk about that last phrase, that he may have something to give him who has need.
I mean, the whole point of Christian ethics, Christian work ethics, is not simply to be self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ultimately only about you and supporting your needs. The whole point of work is so that you might have something to give to someone else who is in need.
That's why we talk about offerings.
That's right. The offerings is a critical part of our stewardship journey. So put Ephesians 4:24 into practice.
4:28.
Thank you. 28. Yep. Yeah, I can read.
Yep.
So put that into practice. Work hard, set money aside, be intentional about this so that you can give to those who are in need.
And it, and we see here, it's more of a command. You work hard, work with your hands, not only to provide for your family, but also to help those in need.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to look at it in light of scriptures. This is a command for us to do. And by choosing not to do that, we're not following the full stewardship of what's before us as we see in scriptures.
Ephesians 2:4 is another great passage and very simple reminder. Let each look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Mm. And again, we can't get much clearer than that. We need to look for the interests of others,
yeah,
not to be self-serving.
That Philippians passage is a very good passage. And I can't stress enough, you need to look outside. Many, many times we just look into ourselves, look at our own problems, and it says here, but also for the interest of others.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say, the times, it's hard. My wife is so much more generous than I am. She has the gift of generosity. I say this tongue-in-cheek, that if I stand still long enough, she'll rip the shirt off my back and give it to somebody else. And so I'm very thankful for someone who's taught me more about generosity through the years. But it says here, but look for the interest of others.
That, yeah, there's an intentionality about that.
It's purposeful.
Yeah.
It's purposeful. Yes. James 2:14-17, a little bit longer of a passage. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, by faith itself, it does not have works, is dead.
Yeah. So, if faith by itself does not have works, it is dead.
Yeah.
Look, we can't get much clearer than this.
No.
If you claim to be a follower of Christ,
mm-hmm,
and you shut your ears to the cries of the poor,
yeah,
you do not put your theological knowledge, your faith, into practice, your faith is a false faith.
Yeah.
So we don't want to make faith all about a social gospel that really the work of the gospel is about poverty alleviation or feeding the poor.
We're always going to have it.
It's more than that, but yeah, it's not less than that.
Right.
It's so important for us to recognize.
And it's not. And I know some churches are less in social action, and I've known other churches that are all into social action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an either situation. I think it's an end.
Yeah.
It needs to be both.
So, Drew, how does this whole thing work?
Well, as we put things together, we like to see there's three steps when it comes to surprise generosity. And we have step number one, we look for opportunities. We talked about that earlier, Tim, and you said that was the Thanksgiving table for mm-hmm. you guys growing mm-hmm. up. So you look for opportunities in your church community, in your neighborhood. Speak with your pastor. As one who was a pastor for many years, I can tell you, not that I had the full pulse of what was happening, but I understood what was going on with a lot of our people,
yeah,
and knew some of the needs that were out there.
I think especially when you're starting out, keep your pastoral team in mind, your
yes.
deacons in mind, because they're more in tune
absolutely.
With the physical needs of the church. So as you're starting out and you don't know who to help or how to help, work with your church. They may be able to point you in the right direction.
Yeah, and again, it's not just the financial needs. It's also going to be a service need.
Yeah, the physical needs,
and
yes.
And I'll get to that in a moment. And we have those two opportunities underneath, mm-hmm. and that's the surprise package, which is meeting the needs of others, either through tangible items or financial gifts,
yeah.
gift cards.
Yeah.
For bigger impact, we recommend looking for opportunities around the Thanksgiving time to bless someone during that upcoming Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the surprise service.
Yeah. You know, let me go back to the surprise package company
sure.
and just say something very briefly. You know, I described a covert, you know, knocking on doors in the middle of the night. And
yes, you did.
It's not the 1980s anymore.
It's
a very different world. I was teaching this at a church, and a very gracious African-American woman came up to me, and she said, so do people actually do that these days? And I said, well, yeah, we teach this, and we've got people doing that. You know what would happen if one of my boys did that? She lived in a rural area, in a country area.
Sure.
And her thought or her fear was that her boys, if did that, might be arrested because assumptions that they're not doing what was right. They're not there to bless, but to take.
Right.
Or maybe even worst case scenario, they could be shot.
Yeah.
So what we're suggesting with surprise package companies, surprise generosities, use your wisdom and discretion.
Absolutely.
Use your wisdom and discretion. There are times and places where doing what we did when growing up makes a ton of sense and can be done safely.
With the covert part you're talking about.
Yeah, and maybe there are ways and context in which a different approach ought to be used.
Can I tell you, as a pastor for many years, I can't tell you how many times, especially during the holiday season, someone would walk up to me on Sunday morning and slip a card and a gift card in my hand and say, Mrs. Smith, can you make sure that she gets this this week? Mm-hmm. And then I would then, either later on that day or in that week.
Use an emissary. That might be
exactly.
Yeah.
Find that third-party person to be the blessing.
The negative is that you're not there to see the impact.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's really the heart of this.
Well, if you can pull it off sometime at the church time and do it in a place that could be more visible, there could be that happens.
Yeah, leave the envelope on the windshield wiper.
You could do that. Yeah. Something of that nature.
But that they would have to come to church for that. So
they would have
neighbor
to come,
might be a little bit more difficult.
Neighbor would be a little more difficult. And then we also surprise service and meeting the needs of others through using your time and your talents. It could be a one-time service project or an ongoing gift of your time. I want to give a very brief story. In my one ministry I was at, there was a woman that had a fire that happened in her garage, and it was partly brick, partly wood. And the township was coming in and saying, hey, you need to fix it or knock it down. And she had zero resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somehow, we actually spoke with the chief of police and said, is there somebody you know in the community that needs some help? And they said, well, actually, we got this one. And she's literally got 2 weeks to get this garage either torn down or fixed up. And we just put into service our team, and we actually had a gentleman in the church, I believe, pay for most of it. He brought the resources in. We had a team of like 20-plus people go there.
Wow.
And in 6 hours, we not only rebuilt the roof and took care of the parts on a garage that met the expectations of the township, we also got on the roof of her house and fixed the leaks on her roof.
Nice.
And she was not part of our congregation, not part of there, but she had her back up against the wall, and she knew about our church after that, and we had ongoing contact. So there's that surprise service that happens. So that's the first thing. You look. Second step is pray for discernment.
Yeah, that's so
important. Tim, talk about how was that like for you guys growing up?
Well, so as a kid, one of the things my dad really wanted to make sure we understood was that there was appropriateness to how we use and spend the Lord's money.
Yeah.
Right. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't giving money to people, A, who didn't need it, who because of a series of just enormously bad choices, maybe, you know, they're driving around like Mercedes Benz and they're taking the Florida, you know, Disney World vacations, and now they're late on a bill or two. I don't know that that's someone I want to help as much as someone who has lost a job at, you know, things outside of their own circumstances or control. They lost income or had increased expenses. So you think about that, and you also want to be careful about alcohol and drug abuse.
Absolutely.
So if there's a situation like that and you're led to give, how do you give? So as a parent, you talk through these things with your kids. And obviously as an adult, if you're doing this by yourself without children, this is something that you'll need to wrestle with and wrestle through. Who do you give? What do you give?
Yeah.
When do you give?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you give? There's a lot of little things in here. So, you know, you can use your time or money. You can use both. You, after you choose, you pray and let each child decide who they want to bless. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about how to use the money. You then pray for wisdom. And if you have children in the home and you're doing this as an example to kind of get them engaged in the process, really, you do need to let them help in that decision process.
So they're part of the whole process.
Really, it's important to have that. Now, the parent gets to override if they think something is not going right, but you do want the children to have that say, and they get to pick their family, their target family, so to speak.
Real quick, in your family growing up doing this surprise package company, did you guys ever, were you and your siblings joined resources together to bless one family instead of doing four different families?
No. There was times, I think, when the need was greater. Maybe they had more kids in the home. Mm. And my dad, out of his own generosity, chose to give more.
Wonderful.
However, there is a story that I say to my shame. My younger brother was so moved by this exercise that one year he goes to my dad and says, "Hey dad, this year, can I use some of my money?"
What?
Yeah, that wasn't my attitude, but that was my brother's thought process. That was his heart. He wanted to not simply be involved in the giving, covertly delivering the gift. He wanted to be involved in actually giving the gift and sacrificing some of his money, which is ultimately the goal of this. We're getting the kids involved because we want them not just to get excited about blessing others. We want them to get excited about getting even more involved in giving this away after they're out of the home.
I like to say it this way. The story you just shared, over that period of time, your parents help cultivate a heart of generosity.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to mm-hmm. in this. At first, it's the parents being generous. The kids are actively involved, prayerfully involved, being part of all the pieces. But the end result is cultivating a heart of generosity in your child so that they can go on and do it in their life and hopefully with their children someday.
So we've prayed for discernment and we've helped the kids to choose a family, decide on how we're going to go about it, whether it's a surprise package, a service, or a combination of both. And now it's time for step three.
Step three.
Act.
Yep. Step three is act. And you then, from there, you surprise someone by either being financially generous or serving them. Surprise package, as we talked about. You deliver a tangible or financial gift to the person that your child chooses to bless. Mm-hmm. This can be done personally, anonymously, through a third party, pastor, deacon, friend. Be creative.
Absolutely.
Have some. Absolutely. Make sure it's, yes, have some fun that way. Mm-hmm. Or it can be that surprise service. By serving someone, by meeting a need which requires some time and talents. You may have to gather all the materials needed, assemble your team, make it happen, and serving as a family can be that added blessing on top of all that.
It's good and appropriate to do this individually or as a family, but it's also good when you have a big enough project to engage individuals within your church group, maybe your small group.
Yeah.
And if it's a surprise service, I would even argue if you have a small group that you're a part of at your church, that you discuss this amongst your small group and decide who to bless and how to serve. That might be a really good way of engaging that small group into acts of service.
Absolutely. So let's just review it. We have step one is looking for the opportunities.
Yeah. Yep.
Step number two is you pray for discernment. And step number three is you act, whether it's surprise package or surprise service. Now, we got some recommended guidelines. Tim, we put these together, and I think part of it is from your upbringing. So why don't you go over some of these recommended guidelines?
Yeah, you know, some of this is going to be review, so forgive me here, but I think it's important to remind you that if you have children involved, allow them to be a part of the deciding process. Mm. One individual or family per child. So that means if you have three kids, you need to be prepared to have $300 at Christmas time to give away.
It doesn't have to be $100, though.
Well, granted. Yeah, absolutely right. But, you know, whatever you choose to give away.
You need to be prepared for
easy math, right? Let's say $300. Well, you need to be preparing in your budget ahead of time.
Well said.
So that you have that money available to give. And cash is good. Gift cards are fine.
Excellent.
You know, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. So number one, allow the kids to be involved. Number two, you can do it all together as a family if there's one particular family that has need. So feel free to be flexible with this. This can be done any time of year, but especially beneficial at Christmas.
Yeah.
Surprise package works best when it's anonymous.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Be generous and don't seek the praise of men.
Yeah.
Look, your father knows what you're doing. You're giving this to him, not for your own sake and benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So allow it to be anonymous if you're able to. And then have your children involved in every step of the process. Let them own it. Yeah. Let them have fun with it.
Yeah.
And you will be amazed at the memories that they carry with them into adulthood.
Now, Tim, can I also add to this? This is not in our show notes. Have you done this with your own children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not only has it been taught to you as a child,
mm-hmm.
you have now transferred this over to your own children.
Mm-hmm.
In their younger years, they were out there doing it. So that's the goal, to create and cultivate this heart of generosity. So we're gonna kind of wrap this up. Proverbs 22:6 says this: train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So to take that passage of scripture is a very key thing. How we raise our kids, how we train them, will not only impact our immediate family, but Lord willing, their family when they start one. So what we do to train our kids today can make a huge impact. Tim, you shared the story. Your parents worked in you and your siblings to create and cultivate that heart of generosity, where now you did the same with your children, and Lord willing, that will carry on the family line down the road, and it'll all come back to your dad and his creativity in this. Very important. We need to train up a child in the way he should go. So some of the benefits. The benefits are children learn to be selfless with their time, their talents, and their treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Children experience the joy of giving and serving others. Children learn to be more thankful for what they have, and it reminds us that we are all recipients of generosity through the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have children and grandchildren will develop a lifestyle of biblical stewardship where it will guide their future families and their finances. It will strengthen the local church. Can you imagine if the people in the church rose up to help others within the church?
That really gets me excited. Yeah.
If they help others within the church, the impact that will not just have in the church, but the way that people look at the church, and then the impact that it can have in the kingdom for the glory of God. It's as much as I love the church, and I do, it's the bride of Christ. I think it's very important for the people to rise up within the church to be the ones that bless one another and encourage. It's not just the church mm-hmm. supposed to do it. It's we as believers are to do that. So that gives a lot of the benefits that are there. So Tim, we've pretty much landed this plane, and we would encourage people to kind of talk to us more about this.
Yeah, you know, you can go learn more about the Surprise Package Company. We have resources there for you to look at, download templates, all of the different things you might need to engage in surprise generosity. So go ahead and make sure you see that. Next week, we're really excited. We're going to talk about financial contentment as we head into Christmas. And, you know, you think about how much you're giving or not giving, thing and what you want and don't want, it's very easy for us to become discontented.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about where contentment comes from, how we can be financially content with what the Lord has given, and still be a good steward and manage wisely the resources the Lord has provided. So make sure to tune in next week. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We're so excited that you are part of this journey with us. Until next time, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast and email list at stewardologypodcast.com. Like us on social media. Share this podcast with friends and family. Share it on social media. The more people know about this information, the more the church can be strengthened and the more the gospel can advance. So for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom, we encourage you to share these ideas with those you love. Take advantage of our free personal stewardship reviews. You can do this by reaching out to us through our website at stewardologypodcast.com, where Drew or I can take an hour or so and for free go ahead and give you a stewardship review to help you become an even better steward. All right, that's it. Until next time, God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us on the Stewardology Podcast, where financial stewardship and theology meet. We'd like to help you take your next steps in biblical financial stewardship. First, subscribe in your podcast provider to get the newest episode delivered to you every week. Next, follow us on social media and visit our website at stewardologypodcast.com. There you can find our social media links and our entire episode archive. Remember, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See you next week on the Stewardology Podcast. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.